First, we're starting to get info about the impacts of the American Rescue Plan that went into effect last month. Child tax credit payments are part of that new program, and many American families with one or more children began receiving direct payments in the middle of July in advance of filing taxes for 2021. That may have already led to a drop in food insecurity. According to the government's Household Pulse survey and the Census Bureau, those payments may have already contributed to a drop in the number of families with children reporting that they don't have enough to eat or drink in a given week. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Did you start receiving those payments yourself? What does it mean for you and your family? Does it go toward food or other household necessities? Do you have questions about this program? Do you want to see it stay in place? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Timothy Smeeting is the Lee Rainwater Distinguished Professor of Public Affairs and Economics at UW-Madison. He's a former director of the Institute for Research on Poverty and the author of several books, including SNAP Matters, How Food Stamps Affect Health and Well-Being and Monitoring Social Mobility in the 21st Century. Tim, welcome back to Central Time.
Thank you.
Before we get into this new research from the Census Bureau, Tim, can you remind us what these payments are, how they work, who they go to?
Yes, sure. The child tax credit, we've had child tax credits in 1997, and they were expanded to $2,000 per child in the Trump Tax Act, the Tax and Jobs Act of 2017. So in 2020, a lot of people got $2,000 off their taxes, but they excluded the bottom 35%. 10% didn't get any benefit because they had no earned income, and 23% who had earned income didn't have enough to get the whole $2,000 back. So what happened is the relief plan that was passed by Congress included an expanded child tax credit up from $2,000 to $3,000 or $3,600, depending on your kid's age, and decided to pay it out monthly to everybody starting in July. And in July, almost 60 million, 59.3 million children and 35 million families got the benefit. In August, they added 1.6 million more kids, but a huge number of kids, particularly those who are in working class families with incomes between $30,000 and $70,000, started getting this benefit. And they're going to get it every month until the end of the year. So they're going to get, you're either getting $250 a month or $300 a month, depending on the age of your children. And this is going to people who regularly file taxes, who've had good communication with the IRS in the past. And those people started seeing it on July 15th. And so the Census Pulse survey, which was done just before and then just after that date, registered the initial effects of this program on two things that you mentioned. One was food insufficiency, and the other is your ability to afford everyday household expenses.
So here we are with that data. Pre this payment, 11% of households, they report, families with children, reported that either sometimes or often didn't have enough to eat or drink. After these payments, the number goes down to 8%. Now, I don't know. This is a quick turnaround. First look at data here. Can we say with any confidence that these payments led to this outcome, a decline in food insecurity?
Well, the way you do that is you compare households headed by adults without children, similar age, similar earnings, similar situations, and there was no change there. So in other words, food insufficiency was the same, whatever the number was, I don't remember right now, for childless adult households. But in adult households with children who were eligible and getting this benefit, there was a drop. This is a big drop, and it's a pretty significant sign. By the way, it is also a sign of why the Biden administration has increased the SNAP benefits starting in October by 25% because they're just not enough to feed a family. So this was some good news right there. And you found the same sort of difference when you ask about having difficulty in paying bills. In fact, there was a slight uptick in difficulty for paying bills for households that didn't have children and a decline for households that did have children. So the only thing that I know that we know changed between those two surveys was the delivery of the child tax credit. Now, they'll do it again next month and again and again. And increasingly, people are going out and asking, what are you spending this money on? And finding, you know, what I consider to be really interesting and useful things. So 17% of those with at least one child under age five spent some of their CTC on childcare. So in other words, so they could go out to work or find a place to work or work a different shift. A lot of this money also went to supporting childcare. Now, it's hard to find childcare slots and things like that, and the state has some, but there was a new tax credit for childcare too, and dependent care, which could add to this. So right now, this is pretty good news for the working class, those above poverty.
You mentioned a phrase earlier that the people who are in regular contact with the IRS, people who file their taxes, is there a group out there that doesn't make enough maybe to file taxes that isn't being affected by these new credits?
Yes, there's a fairly large group. There's 4 or 5 million kids who are in families where taxes weren't filed, or where the taxes were filed by an immigrant parent with an ITIN number, or where people moved and they weren't in contact by email. The IRS had their last address. They wrote to them and said, you're eligible. And they got the letter back because the mail wasn't forwarded because the Postal Service is behind on forwarding. So there's about 5 million kids out there who should be getting this benefit, 4 to 5 million, who aren't quite getting it yet. And that's where the big take-up issues are. And if Biden and others expect that this benefit will have child poverty, you have to get to the poor. So I gave the IRS an A last week in a presentation in dealing with the working class and the middle class and getting those benefits out. And I gave them a C so far in getting benefits to people who need help. People who haven't filed regular taxes, including some immigrant families who may not think they're eligible, even though they are, and so-called grand families, where a grandparent is actually raising the children because their son or daughter, the parent of their grandchildren, aren't able to do it. And we don't know how many of these there are out there. There are people who are making guesses, 3-4 million more. And we need to get to those people if we're going to have the big effect on poverty. And that's where a lot of the aid groups and groups who can work with these people to determine that they're eligible, these grandparents and immigrant parents and so forth, and try and get them out of the program too.
Timothy Smeeting is with us, a professor of public affairs and economics at UW-Madison, talking about new child tax credits that kicked in last month. Early survey research in from the Census Bureau says it may be having a pretty good impact on food insecurity, food insufficiency for families with children, bringing it down. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Did you see that payment show up in your bank account last month? What does it mean for you and your family if you're a family with children? Where is that money going? And whoever you are, what do you think of this idea as a public policy? Ends at the beginning of end of this year, excuse me. Should it continue? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Tim, can you talk about that expiration date? This is a finite program. Based on what you're seeing so far, do you think it's something that should be continued?
Well, I certainly do. In fact, and the Biden administration does. They pushed it out in July and made sure that you got, 85% of the eligibles or 88% of the eligibles. They really pushed it out because they wanted rural families, blue-collar families, families that are working hard to know that the government was going to help them support their children and raise their children, just like it helps higher-income families. And they did it. They got it out there. I know journalists who told me, hey, my 3 kids were getting the benefit now. And it's very easy to find a television show or somebody who will go out and find a new recipient and look at the smiles on their faces and say, oh my gosh, I can afford a good internet connection now. I can pay my back rent. I can get the kids ready for school. I can afford childcare. We can eat a better diet. And I don't have to worry about being penniless at the end of any month because, at least for the next 4 months now, this is going to be there every month. Now, the problem is it's only monthly for 6 months. The other half of this credit will come with at tax time in 2022. So if you're an eligible family and you got $1,800, $300 a month for 6 months for your 5-year-old, let's say, you can expect to get another $1,800 back from the IRS when you file your taxes or taken off your taxes or returned as a refund when you do that in February or April. But that's it. It's only 1 year. The Biden budget includes this as part of their big $3.5 trillion. Anyway, and this is one that I think they're not going to give up. There's a huge groundswell. There will be, and is a huge groundswell of people saying, wow, this really helps. This is just what I needed. I can do things for my kids I couldn't before. And it's going to be really hard to turn off that spigot in Joe Manchin's West Virginia, in rural Wisconsin, in Detroit, Cleveland, Buffalo, inner city areas, and other places where people are working and not making as much money and really could use this to help support their families. So I'm hopeful and optimistic that this will be something that is continued in the fall in the budget. Many other things I think won't be continued, but this one is one I know that Democratic leadership and both houses of Congress are really in favor of.
We're picking up our talk now with UW-Madison's Tim Smeeting, professor of public affairs and economics, looking at the impacts of the child tax credit payments on hunger rates so far this summer. You can join in if you'd like at 800-642-1234. Have you seen these payments coming to you if you are a parent with children 17 or under? What does it mean for you? Do you think this is a good policy decision? Do you want to see it extended out from the end of this year? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 with your thoughts, experiences, or questions, or email us, ideas@WPR.org. Tim, the numbers we've been looking at are national numbers. Can you give us a sense of the scope of food insecurity here in Wisconsin?
Oh, that's a really good question. It's a little bit better. We've done, it certainly was better during the Great Recession because we did such a good job of getting SNAP benefits out there. There were some cutbacks and, you know, some things, some talk of drug testing and work tests for adults who didn't have children and so forth during the end of the Walker administration. But we're doing a pretty good job. Rates are up pretty well here, at least for the SNAP program. So I assume it's helping a lot of people in Wisconsin feed their kids too. And the other thing Wisconsinites might think about is that more money for food means higher demand for food, which means that that milk and cheese and butter we're producing is probably going to have a higher price tag on it after the benefits are distributed and after SNAP increases, because more people will be buying it and they'll have more money to pay for it. So it's good for the supply side, the Wisconsin farmer, as well as the demand side, the families who really need to feed their kids.
Got an email from Ann in Madison with a couple questions. She asks, are only households paying taxes eligible for this? Is there anything people receiving this need to be aware of when filing taxes so there aren't surprises? Ann says, I have tax preparer relatives who are concerned that there could be problems at tax time. So if I understand you correctly, Tim, no, you don't have to be paying taxes to be eligible. Do I have that right on
That's the first question?
Okay.
That's correct. And at tax time, there's really not going to be any problem this year. If you think about it, suppose last year you got $2,000 off your taxes for your kids, okay? This year they're going to give you $300 a month, let's say, for 6 months. They'll give you $1,800 during this time of the year. And then you're going to get another $2,200 or another $1,800, I'm sorry, when you file your taxes. And you were expecting only $2,000 anyway. I just don't see the problem. Now, does this phase out? Yes, it phases out at $150,000 for a family with children. So up to $150,000 of taxable income, there's really no effect, okay? Above that, they phase the tax out. But once you're making $140,000, $150,000, you have withholding, you have other taxes, and a difference of $200, which is what we're talking about, you might not even notice that, okay? So I think that, I mean, I really expect that few people will have to pay it back. Now, you have the following option. If you don't want it monthly and you want to get it delayed, you can go to the IRS website. They have a portal we can go on and change it and say, I don't want it monthly, I want it annually. And they'll give you the remaining months in one lump sum in March or April when you file your taxes. So if there's a surprise, it's a small surprise. It's not a huge surprise. And given the way that it's being administered this year, with half during the end of this year and half, you know, held back, I don't think anybody's going to be hurt by it, really. At least not much. It's, you know, if you're really scared, fine, take it at tax time. But then the problem is people get a big tax refund, especially low-income people, in February or March. And then they don't have that money, and it's great, and they can pay their bills, pay some advance rent, maybe get a new car, pay insurance, do all these things that they wanted to do. But come September and October, you don't have that money anymore because you took it once a year instead of monthly. So when somebody gets laid off in September or the car breaks down in September and you lose your job or you can't work, the monthly child tax credit comes in really handy to help pay those bills, fix the car. And that's the problem with not taking it monthly. So I think of an awful lot of lower income people, maybe not the poorest, or the poorest, but not, you know, people with incomes less than $70,000 or $80,000 a year should take it monthly, and they're not going to get hurt.
Let's bring on a caller now at 800-642-1234. Greg is with us in Appleton. Greg, hi.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I know a 37-year-old single mother of two who lives off of her child support. I convinced her to file a tax return this past year so she could get her COVID money, but she went online and her friend, said because she had no earned income, not $1, that she wasn't eligible for this program. Is that correct?
No, that's wrong. She is eligible, whether she has some earnings or not. The same way that of grandparents who only have Social Security and are paying taxes on that, if they're really taking care of their grandkids, they also are eligible. She got misinformation. If she goes to childtaxcredit.gov, she can find out what she should be getting and what she has to do to go to the non-filer portal and claim the benefit. Okay? As long as those children have Social Security numbers, and as long as that mother, through child support or whatever, as long as that mother lives with that children for at least 6 months this year and pays at least half of their expenses, she is eligible.
Greg, thanks a lot for the question. And I think some of the confusion here, Tim, and I had this confusion, I've thought of this credit along the lines of the already existing earned income tax credit, but that's the big difference. It doesn't have the words earned income in it.
Correct. The earned income tax credit did not change at all. Most people with low earnings are still going to get an earned income tax credit next year. It's totally separate. This is a child tax credit. It's what middle-class families have been getting for a number of years, and now we're extending it down to people like Greg's friend who needs the help. So she should go back. She should contact her local WISCAP, contact Wisconsin Extension. There are a lot of groups in the state who are working on these issues, and I write to a lot of them every week. That mother is definitely eligible for this benefit, as far as I can tell from what Greg's told me.
Greg, thanks for that call again. And Tim, that brings me back to something you said earlier about the people who don't file taxes and are eligible and don't know they're eligible. You mentioned earlier, Tim, you know, some local maybe nonprofit groups could pass the word. What would you like to see from, say, state and federal governments when it comes to finding those people who are eligible but don't know it?
That's a good question. I think they're somewhat, at least they know where to point people. There are a number of groups, Wisconsin Extension, Center for Community Alternatives in Milwaukee, the WISCAP programs, ABC Health, which has wonderful webinars, and a lot of other groups in the state, including Latino organizations, Hmong organizations, and others who are trying to spread the word. And when people talk to their friends and find out they're getting the benefit, well, why aren't I? Hopefully they can manage to get on. And again, the place to start is childtaxcredit.gov, which is a general information site that tells you what you need, which IRS portal you need to go to, and what you need to have when you go to the IRS portal. And you're going to have to give up some sensitive information. You're going to have to give up your kids' Social Security numbers. You're going to have to give up your address. You're going to have to sign that you're supporting your kids and you're taking care of them for at least 6 months of the year. And if you want to make things really easy, you're going to have to give the IRS your bank account, in which case they will automatically deposit this child credit in that account. Will they take anything from you? No. If this mother who is receiving just child support decides that she can afford to go to work now because she can afford some child care, that and she earns money, she may get an earned income tax credit in addition. But for every dollar she gets in the child tax credit, no one's going to reduce the kid's Medicaid eligibility. No one's going to reduce their food share benefit, and so on. So this program doesn't have a substitution effect. That's why it's kind of a credit, a universal credit. Everybody gets this money to help support their kids because the government realizes it's expensive to have kids, and it's in everyone's interest to have kids have better chances.
Tim, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us.
Thank you. That was great, Rob. And people know where to find me, Smeeting at wish.edu. And yes, I do answer my emails.
Tim Smeeting is the Lee Rainwater Distinguished Professor of Public Affairs and Economics at UW-Madison. We talked to him today about new government data showing that the percentage of families with children experiencing hunger has gone down after the new child tax credit payments started going out.